Welcome to BioTime, a podcast to help you pass high school biology and understand the science of life. My name is Chris, and I'm your host today. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today we will be discussing community ecology. Community ecology is really just talking about the different types of interactions that are occurring between organisms. There are five categories of community ecology that we will be exploring today. Competition, predation, herbivory, symbiosis, and facilitation. Let's begin by talking about the first category, which is competition. Competition occurs when two or more species need the same resources in order to survive. When we are talking about competition, it is important for us to be clear on some vocabulary. There is intra-specific competition, and there is also inter-specific competition. Intraspecific competition is competition between the same species. An example of this could be polar bears all hunting for a limited number of seals. Interspecific competition, on the other hand, is between different species. An example would be a bear and a wolf both competing against each other to hunt deer. Now that we understand the different types of competition, let's talk about the competitive exclusion principle. This is a very important principle to understand, and it is actually quite simple. This principle was developed by a Russian scientist named G.F. Gauss. He bred two similar species of bacteria separately and allowed them to grow until they hit the carrying capacity. But after he allowed them to grow individually, he combined the two species. One of the species was dominant and drove the other species to extinction. This discovery led him to create the competitive exclusion principle, which states two species cannot coexist in a community if they share a niche, that if they use the same resources. And that makes perfect sense, as two species cannot live together in the same place if they all need the same resources to survive. While the experiment that G.F. Gauss conducted led to the extinction of one species and the survival of the other, it does not always have to be one or the other. A possibility that can occur is resource partitioning. Resource partitioning is that once two species begin to compete with each other for resources, one of the species will adapt and evolve to use different resources. An example of this could be perhaps wolves and bears both hunting for deer. But with competition so fierce between them, perhaps the wolves evolve and begin to hunt for rabbits instead. As we can see, competition drives change, as when competition occurs, species either die off or they adapt. This is fuel for evolution. Competition drives species to evolve, as evolution is the only route to survival. An example of evolution can be seen in Galapagos finches, as their beak shapes and lengths changed in order to survive on the islands they inhabited. Now that we have covered competition, let's discuss the second category, which is predation. Predation refers to one animal eating another animal, but what is important to focus upon is what predation causes. Just like competition, predation is a strong driver of evolution. As prey are hunted by predators, they slowly begin to evolve and adapt in order to increase their chances of survival. Let's take some time to discuss different forms of defense prey have come up with, and most of them are actually quite interesting. An important example is aposematic coloration. Aposematic coloration is when an animal has bright colors, often red or yellow, to convey that they are a poisonous animal. Their outward appearance causes predators to avoid them. As when predators see their bright colors, they are warned that this prey could be poisonous, it could be bitter, or possibly sting or bite. An example could be a skunk. And when we think of skunks, we're reminded by the big, bold white stripe down its back. And this reminds predators and also reminds us as humans that this skunk can produce a horrifying scent if provoked. Another example I want to mention is Batesian mimicry. This is similar to aposematic coloration, except this is when an organism is faking it. It means that an animal can color itself or have characteristics of an animal that could be poisonous or dangerous, but the animal is actually completely harmless. An example would be the robber fly. If you have time, search up what a robber fly looks like. You will probably think that you accidentally searched up a bumblebee. And that is because a robber fly is trying to mimic the outward appearance of a bumblebee. And since bumblebees sting, the prey will see the robber fly and think that the robber fly will sting them, even though the robber fly does not have a sting at all. The final example I want to mention is Mullerian mimicry. This is when two species that are both poisonous exhibit the same outward appearance. By resembling each other, there's a higher chance that they will survive, as predators learn more quickly to avoid them. An example can be seen in the cuckoo bee and a yellow jacket, as they both look so similar. And now let's go on to herbivory. Herbivory is quite similar to predation, except now we are discussing organisms consuming plants. When we are talking about herbivory, we are referring to perhaps cattle grazing on grass or grasshoppers eating a leaf. For some reason, people tend to never think of this, but organisms like snails and sea urchins are also herbivore. So when trying to come up with a list of herbivores, don't neglect ocean creatures. And what is so fascinating about herbivory is how it drives evolution. And this is because as plants are being consumed, they will evolve and develop traits that increase their chances of survival. But simultaneously, while plants develop ways to protect themselves, herbivores are also developing ways to counteract the new defenses plants come up with. This is called coevolution, as there are two species who are both evolving due to their interactions together. An example of coevolution could be between an acacia tree and acacia ants. What happens between this species of ants and this tree is that ants will burrow into the thorns of an acacia tree and live in the thorn. This benefits the ant, as now they have a form of shelter, and that also discourages predators from approaching them. But the acacia tree also benefits. When an animal does decide to come to the acacia tree, the ants will swarm out and attack the animal, protecting the tree. Now let's move on to the fourth category of community ecology, which is symbiosis. Symbiosis is when two or more species live in direct and intimate contact with each other. There are three types of symbiosis: mutualism, commensalism, and parasitism. Mutualism is when both partners are benefiting each other. An example could be oxpeckers and zebras. Oxpeckers are a bird, by the way, and they like to land on zebras and eat parasites and bugs off of the zebra, which helps the oxpeckers get a meal while helping the zebra, as the zebra is reducing the number of parasites on it. Additionally, oxpeckers will often give a call and warn their hosts of danger. Now on to commensalism. Commensalism is an interaction between two organisms when only one benefits. A common example is a barnacle and a whale. If you have ever had the chance to see a whale, they often have barnacles attached to them. Barnacles eat plankton, and as a whale swims around the ocean, the barnacle is essentially taken for a ride where it will catch plankton along the way. The barnacle benefits, and the whale is completely unaffected. That's commensalism. Now let's move on to something a little different, which is parasitism. There is a relationship between two organisms where one of them is harmed and the other benefits. An example that many of us know from experience could be mosquitoes and humans. Mosquitoes land on us and suck our blood so that they can feed, while they leave behind diseases and parasites for us. This is not exactly important to know, but I do want to mention this just because it's so fascinating. Mosquitoes have proteins in their antennae that help them detect the CO2 animals breathe out, and that's how they get attracted to us, and then they use the proteins in their antennae to detect volatile fatty acids given off by our skin. And they can even tell what we've eaten, which is pretty scary. So there's a reason why some people get bitten more by mosquitoes and some people get bitten less, and that is just dependent on how favorable you seem to a mosquito. Now onto the fifth and final category of community ecology, which is facilitation. This is when a species improves the lives of another species without ever coming in contact with them. An example of this could be black grass, which is a flowering plant that lives in marshes. This plant helps to make the soil in marshes more hospitable for other species and also prevents unhealthy salt buildup in the soil. Now that we've covered all five categories of community ecology, let's do a quick recap. The first is competition. The competitive exclusion principle states that two species cannot coexist in a community if they share a niche and use the same resources. When organisms compete with each other, it drives evolution. An example of this can be seen in resource partitioning. Resource partitioning occurs when two species compete with each other for resources. But as resources become scarce, one species will begin to utilize another resource instead. An example could be a bear and a wolf both competing to hunt deer. But with deer scarce, the wolves begin to hunt for rabbits instead. Now on to the second category, which is predation. Predation refers to one animal eating another animal. With predation comes evolution, as prey will evolve in an attempt to avoid getting eaten. Three important defenses that animals often use are aposematic coloration, Batesian mimicry, and Müllerian mimicry. Aposematic coloration is when animals have very bright colors to show that they're dangerous. Batesian mimicry is when a harmless animal wears bright colors or tries to disguise itself as a dangerous animal to avoid predation. Müllerian mimicry is when two poisonous species look the same, and this helps predators learn more quickly to avoid them. Now on to the third category, which is herbivory. Herbivory is when an organism eats plants. Plants often end up developing defense mechanisms, whether they be structural, such as thorns, or they could also become poisonous. And now on to the fourth category, which is symbiosis. There are three types of symbiosis that are important to know. The first is mutualism, where both species benefit. The second is commensalism, where only one species benefits. And then there's parasitism, where one species benefits and the other is hurt. The fifth and final category is facilitation, which is when an organism positively affects another species without ever coming into contact with them. That wraps it up for this podcast on community ecology. Thanks for listening, everyone.